Hey everyone, Jim Phoenix here, and today's Streaming Demons, this is definitely not Take 18, by the way. We are doing a small Streaming Demons, one of the solo shows. We've been teasing this for a while because sometimes Brannick is at a convention, sometimes I am, but those movies keep coming in. And for our solo Streaming Demons, we're focusing only on what's current. We're not doing deep dives in older films. This is the new and what is absolutely current. And do I have a surprise for a very first one? I've been sitting on this screener for some time now. And if you read the title, it's not a surprise. Just read the title of the podcast you're viewing, really. But we're going to do Nick Frost's Black Cab, a Shudder original. All this and that. And next, Demon Demons. We're not going to play the entire thing. You know, I miss the banter. I do. Meow, meow, meow. You know, there's no one else to do that with me. Yeah. I know. During that banter, I'll get Rise of the Drow, the collector's edition you can actually kill someone with from AAW Games. Love it. Coming soon as a review, by the way. Spoiler alert, 5 out of 5. Oh, wait, we're back. Hey, kids. Hey, everyone. That's actually Dave Letterman. Wow, I'm ripping off Letterman in my very first show. Good for me. All right. So today it's just me. Don't touch that dial. You do not touch that dial. I'll use my sexy voice if I have to, but you're not going to touch that dial. On our very first mini Streaming Demons, we've got Black Cab with Nick Frost. It came out this year. It came out this month. What am I talking about? It came out a couple days ago on Shudder. It's a Shudder original. I'm going to read off the IMDb. A couple who find their jovial cab driver diverts them into a remote haunted road, revealing disturbing motives and his true intentions. If you don't understand that this is a Nick Frost movie, it's horror. And it's really well done. This is written by Virginia Gilbert, and IMDb gave it a little bit of a toss, which is weird. Usually myself and IMDb are kind of on the same spot on this. But here we go. I think I will give the IMDb the best review so far, apparently. It's like, I'm a taxi cab driver, so I wanted to watch the movie, but I didn't Google it first. If you are a taxi cab driver and you're like, oh, Black Cab, it must be about me. I don't know. I can't help you. What I can help you right now is the setup and the premise for Black Cab is great. From the moment the picture actually starts to roll, the psychological drama starts. And it's only an hour and 24 minutes, so it's actually a pretty tight movie. I will give you some spoiler-free reviews because there's something in Act 3 that didn't work for me. So I'm going to parse that out as a spoiler-free review because this is brand new. It's on Shudder. If you don't have Shudder and you're a horror fan, why the hell don't you have Shudder? Honestly, if you have like $5 or however much it is, don't quote me on $5 no more. I have no idea how much Shudder costs anymore. You got to spend it. What, you're going to spend it on like another Winnie the Pooh latte from Star Fox? No. You're going to go to Shudder and you're going to put the streamline of Joe Bob Briggs, whatever it's going to be, and get all this cool Shudder originals like Black Cab. This is worth it alone. Think about this. It's like renting a movie. Renting a movie once a month pays for your subscription at Shudder. Do it. Thus, thank you, Shudder. Oh, wait. They just texted me. Okay, cool. The money's in the bank. But for real, I don't know what else I can say about this movie other than if you're a Nick Frost fan, it's all you need to know. And if you're not, don't read the IMDb. If you're not a Nick Frost fan, don't read the IMDb. Go directly to Shudder and start watching it. It is a mix of practical and like spooky, looks like a little bit of CGI in it, but not enough to really throw you off. The story is not this big, fantastical CGI ride, no pun intended. It's scary because you could probably feel parts of this being real. Meaning, the beginning where the abusive guy is the abusive guy, right? And of course, controlling his wife or soon-to-be wife or girlfriend into getting one cab, you know, I'm the male, stuff like that. That's all gross. And I love how they did the dinner party because it feels real. It feels real and it sets up the characters really well. And you have a flashback prior to this that will actually fit in when you watch the rest of the movie. So you have to piece a bit of it together. So maybe that's why people didn't really love too much of the editing. Because, yeah, you do have to piece a bit of this together. It's not hard. They kind of do it for you in the movie. I mean, if you can't pay attention for more than... Kidding. Making sure you're paying attention. I'm paying attention, you're paying attention. You know who else got to be paying attention?
Grandma's cookies!
Wrong one. I should be paying attention. I want to say Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
I'll just do it myself. So you have this thing and you are getting into a cab after a bad night out. And it's England or whatever city or small town or it's an Uber driver or whatever it's going to be. And the point is you're trapped with a monster and you think the monster is your significant other. And they probably are. It's a bit of a dick. But you realize that the cabbie, and this is not spoiling the movie whatsoever. I mean, it's actually in the damn log line. Is he mad or just plain evil? That's actually the synopsis from Shudder. You see this, and it's really not quite Stranger Danger because we think cab drivers aren't strangers to us, and yet we get in. We don't know their driving background. We don't know who they are, really. We know they're providing a service, and really the only thing that separates us from them is that small piece of plexiglass, or if you're in an Uber, nothing whatsoever. So it preys on those fears of the familiar yet the unknown. And I think that does really well. And the acting, by the way, is phenomenal. There's no one who's going to go, oh, that's a bad acting job. No one's going to say that. If they attack the acting, they're just wrong. I'm sorry. You've got beyond Nick Frost alone can carry this movie. And he doesn't have to. That's the cool thing about it. Nick Frost could carry this movie, but he doesn't have to. You know, Shanoev Carlson does a fantastic job as Anne. And you have people that you absolutely will hate in this movie. And Nick Frost ain't one of them. Really weird. It's because he's, you know, the antagonist for us. But this is where the story kind of gets convoluted. And this is where act three, I think. So I think, you know, act one's great. The setup's awesome. They spring into two. That's amazing. I love it. I love the isolation. He's taking people from the downtown city center all the way through like this isolated country. You know, we know the fear of going out to the countryside because no one can hear you scream. Oh, that's aliens. Whatever. No one can hear you scream in the countryside either. Trust me. I grew up in one. We have the psychological happen, and we start seeing a little bit why Nick Frost's character is doing what he does. And you're almost sympathetic for a while. You start sympathizing with the bad guy because you realize if you were in his situation, would you do anything differently? Would you do anything differently? And it's not like he's just doing this on a whim. There's actually something compelling him to do this. A pretty decent reason. And if you take away the supernatural part of it all, bring it down. I'm not going to spoil the movie. But bring out the supernatural and bring it down to the bare human elements. The bare human elements. If this was you in a Nick Frost situation with things happening that you could rationally explain, so not supernatural, so a rational explanation, and it's really hard to say without giving it away, and you had the decision to make someone else like pay for it, would you? How far are you going to protect your own world versus someone else's? At what point do you just go, F it? You know, at what point do you become that monster? And I think each of us has to answer that ourselves. And I think Black Cab poses the question beautifully. It really does. Because if you're like me, you actually start thinking like, man, I don't think I'll do anything differently. You know? So you have the acting great, the writing, the premise is great. The promise and the premise is great, right? You have the setup is fine. The act one is smooth. Act two goes well. Act three, it derails. Notice, I didn't say derails and cars the car crash and burns up in flame. I just said it derails. And I don't know if this is editing. I don't know if this is part of the writing at the end. I don't have the script in front of me. Oh, that'll be pretty damn interesting. I don't know, but something happened where the audience has to fill in a significant gap. And it's like, whoa, what the actual fuck? Oh, by the way, I swear on this one anyways. Motherfuckers. So I don't think that works for the ending, which is what some people are also, this is one thing I will agree with IMDb. They give an eye for incomplete, like one guy is giving an eye for incomplete. The cab guy. And you're like, well, you're right. I think that's a little too harsh to say it's incomplete, but it's not an incomplete movie. I think just something happened in Act Three that we're not exactly sure about, we're not exactly fine with. It's just, you know, like the set designs, the ambience, the music, everything is great. It's just, damn. Act three just kind of like derails it. It does. But I could be wrong. And maybe this dude on IMDb, who I'm not, Red Robin 6'2". Oh my God, there's a bunch of numbers. Fuck it. Red Robin's also could be wrong. Who knows? We might be wrong. But maybe we're not. One way to find out, hour 24, it's worth it. Cthulhu rating, you already know it. 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 Cthulhus. If the act three landed, it would be a 4.5. And easily a sequelable movie, depending on who lives and who doesn't. Like, I think the premise is sequelable. Without giving it away, right? I think this could be along the lines of Woman in Black, Purge, stuff like that. It could be sequelable to the part where it's franchisable. But Act 3 really needed to work. I don't know what went wrong. So 4 out of 5, I'm not going to drop down to 3.5 because it just, the acting and the rest of the story don't deserve to be lower than 4. And that's it. Oh my God. That's it. A 13-minute stream in Demons. Holy crow. All right. Next up, we've got more. He never left. We've got some stuff, another video coming out, another movie review. And if you like this format, let me know. We can do a few more of them. Basically, this is just the Box and I taking some time to breathe, and movies keep coming in. So if you like this one, let us know. If you hate this one, go fuck yourself. All that and more in the next Stream and Demons. Wait, what? Hit it. Meow, meow, meow. And we really are going to start reviewing games, video reviews, which means Jim's going to be very awkward. And this game is brilliant, by the way. Rise of Drow, 5 out of 5. Do we have to listen to the entire thing? I guess so. Do you hear a cat?
I hear a cat. I love looking at it.
Yeah, motherfucker.